This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamualaikum. Wow, that was weak. Assalamualaikum. Wa alaikum. Come on, say it like you teach us beat LSU. Assalamualaikum. That's probably why they didn't beat LSU. Okay. It's still pretty weak. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al anbiya wa muslimin Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawm al-deen. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barik ala habibina wa nabiyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathira from amma ba'ad. How's everyone doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Did you guys enjoy Hafiz Islam's talk?
Yeah,
I did too. I just want to correct, I am a fantastic husband. I don't even know why I'm here. That's why I'm the one giving the information and not getting it. No, I'm joking. Alhamdulillah, my wife's a better wife, mashallah, than I am a husband. So, Hafiz Islam, mashallah, what I like about his talk, what I love about his talk, was that he started us off by giving me a microphone. No, he started us off by giving us the standard, right? Whenever you want to know anything, whenever something is, you're curious about something or you need to study something or you need to have information, you need to get some information from somewhere, the place, the number one place that you should always get it from is the standard. So for example, if you need information on, you know, for example, where to buy things from, you're a consumer, you need to consume something, you need to buy something, you go to Consumer Reports, right? If you need to go purchase a car, you'll go to the car dealership, you'll ask the experts, you'll go to the mechanic and you'll figure out, is this a good car to buy or not? And so whenever we have a question about life, about our existence, questions that we need to answer in order to move forward with ourselves, the standard is the word of Allah, right? The standard is the word of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is what we listen to, Sami'na wa ta'ana, right? We hear and we obey. Because that's what's going to get us through it, right? And just, I know, it sounds very dogmatic, right? You might say, well, how can you just listen? How can you just hear and obey? You don't have to question. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go ahead, question, ask. But when you ask questions about the car you're going to buy, do you go to the random chef at the restaurant and say, what do you think about, you know, this car versus this car? No, when you ask questions, you ask qualified people. You don't go to Google. Google's not a sheikh, last time I checked, right? You go to qualified individuals, like Sheikh Abdul Nasser. All right, you know, in this community, we have many qualified individuals, such as Imam Rafiq, we have Hafid Noman. You ask people questions. So at the same time that you're following this book, at the same time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to listen and obey, to hear and obey, He's also saying, go ahead and ask questions. But, ask so, fas'alu ahlil dhikr. Those people who are often, or the people of remembrance, of reminder, those who know. Make sure you ask those who know. And so when Hafiz Islam, mashallah, he started out by saying that he defined love for us. And in the first place, who put love in our hearts in the first place?
Allah.
Who put love in our hearts for the first place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. And so when someone puts something somewhere, usually they know what the function is, what the characteristics are, how we should look at it, how we should interpret it, because He put it there Himself. Right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that love in our hearts, in our beings, in our existences, then it's always good to go to Allah to ask and to see what is the purpose, what are the characteristics, what are the traits, and what are the benefits. Along with following the book, the Quran, the Kalam of Allah, there's also a second part, right? Something that is complementary, that explains it. They explain each other. That is what? The sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, let me ask you guys, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, does He say pray? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Does Allah say pray?
Yes.
Well, qimus salat, right? Establish prayer. Let me ask you this, does He tell you how to pray? Are you sure? Who says yes, He tells you how to pray in the Quran? Does Allah say, start off by saying Allahu Akbar, then wait for a while? If you're leading people in prayer, wait for a longer time. Then go to ruku. Right? No. How do we know how to pray? From our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you can't be a Muslim, you can't really understand Islam fully unless you take both parts together. Right? It's like you can't have pizza unless you got bread and cheese. It's not going to work with only bread, that's just bread. And cheese, just cheese. Together, you have a wonderful creation of God. Right? Wonderful. We need some sauce too, I'm sorry. I apologize. There's three parts to it. We're not the Trinity though. Okay, so, when you have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He teaches us through his example and through his his lifestyle, right? Could you imagine? This is so, and it's so ajib, right? It's so interesting that someone, his life was being written down. The way that he lived was being written down for millions and billions of people to look to that example and follow it. Ask yourself the question, right? How great is this man that his life was being documented, right? By many different people, so that we could open up a book called Sahih Bukhari, we could open up Bidayah wa Nihayah, we could open up the Seerah of the Prophet, and we could say, I want to be like this man. Can you imagine if someone made a Seerah of Abdul Rahman Murphy? You'd be like, today he gained 3 pounds, right? Tried to go to the gym, work it off, didn't quite work. Almost missed Asr, right? Like, it just wouldn't work out. It just wouldn't be very good. So this man is so incredible, subhanAllah, Sayyidina Muhammad, that like his life was being documented for all of us to take as an instruction manual. So when we look to the example of the Prophet, we don't just look to it as like, yeah, he was kind of this cool, smart guy, right? One time I was in a public school and someone was like, who's Muhammad? Someone was like, yeah, he's a cool guy. Like, that's pretty cool, right? It's cool that they said that he's cool, but also realize that he's not just like some very wise elder. This guy was the man, right? He was the manliest of men. And he was also the most human of all humans. And that's why not only men can take from his example, but women can as well. So when we look at something like, love, when we look at something like love, we have to look at the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to, if sisters can move up, I'm getting a message that, I think you just did that, right? Okay, sorry, that sprint's kind of slow. Okay. We look at the example of the love of ourselves and the love of this world. We look to the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm only going to tell you tonight, inshallah, four stories. How many stories?
Four.
Imam Junaid Baghdadi, rahimahullah, said that the stories, right, particularly in the Quran, but in general we can take this principle that stories are junt min junudillah, they are soldiers from the soldiers of God. What is the function of a soldier? Well, the function of a soldier to an army is to help it, to assist it, to give it reinforcement, to motivate it, to provide backing. Did I just hear Aisha?
Yeah, Aisha.
So when Imam Junaid said that stories are like soldiers, when we read these stories, they're not just fairy tales, right? It's not just a movie script. This story is more than that. This story is a lesson to take from. This story is something that we're supposed to inculcate into our lives to make ourselves better. There's one story of two people, a couple. Aisha, can you please be quiet? This story, it's okay, she's basically my niece, so we're cool. I'll give her Curious George later, she'll be fine. There's a story of two people. Two companions, Mughith and Barira. They were both workers, they were both of the labor class in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were married. Now, in the situation of being a worker or a laborer in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a man and a woman are married and they are both laborers, and the woman or the man is given to go free, like, you're no longer employed by me, you're fine, or you're no longer taken care of, you're no longer working for me, you can go, then the spouse, the woman, has the right to annul the marriage, right? So for example, if she's let go, if Barira is let go, she has the right to annul the marriage because her husband is still considered in the labor class. And so she has to, you know, reevaluate her life and her situation. So this is what happened. She was given free, she was let go free, and she decided that she no longer wanted to be married to Mughith, right? For whatever reason. She wanted a divorce and she called it. So Mughith is devastated, right? Mughith is devastated. He goes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet ﷺ can see, right? The Prophet ﷺ was a master counselor. He was the best of all therapists. When he saw people, he could just read them. And he knew what they needed, right? He knew the sickness and he knew the cure. That's why people would go to him with the same question. Ayyu amal afdal, what is the best action? And he would say to you what? Be kind to your parents. He would say to you what? Pray on time. Because he knew people's problems. And so, you see that Mughith went to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ saw on his face some sadness. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, my wife just divorced me. I want you, please, can you go and ask her to take me back? Mommy. I want you to please go and ask her to take me back. Right? And he's like heartbroken. And the Prophet ﷺ says, okay, I'll go and try. So Muhammad ﷺ goes to Barira. He speaks to her, he says, Barira, I'm coming to you on behalf of your ex-husband who you divorced, and I wanted to ask you if you'd be willing to take him back. You know, whatever it takes, he'll do it, just take him back. She goes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, is this a command or is this just a suggestion? Right? Is this something that you're telling me I have to do? Or is this just something that you're saying, would you please do it? And the Prophet says, no, it's not a command, it's just a suggestion, just a favor that I'm asking from you. And she says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry, I can't. So he goes back and he tells Mughith, it's not going to work out, man. She's not going to have it. And then he's sitting there with Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. And Mughith sees Barira walking away. Right? At this point, are they married or no? Are they married or no? They're divorced. Is he allowed to touch her? No. He runs up to the feet of Barira and he dives at her feet. And he grabs her ankles as he's crying. And he says, please, don't leave me. Don't leave me. It's a very sad story. This is reality though. These are the people that taught us lessons to live by. The Prophet ﷺ, at that point, right? A lot of times we see the Prophet as what? Right? Angry face. Don't touch her. No. The Prophet ﷺ sees that Mughith is touching Barira's skin. She's no longer allowed for him. And he looks at Ibn Abbas and he says, isn't it so interesting that the amount that he loves her, she hates him? He didn't yell at Mughith and say, what are you doing? You can't touch her, man. This is Islam, Sharia law, right? Nashville, Tennessee, we're coming to get you, right? No. He didn't say that. He was merciful. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you except that you were merciful on people. We see that the Prophet ﷺ, he understood love. He knew what love was about. He knew that the human beings, we have hearts that we can't control sometimes, right? We're going to talk about that though. And so before we get started in talking about how the Prophet ﷺ lived as a person who loved, we have to understand that he understood love. He knew what love was about. When we want to ask for advice on love, who do you go to? Dr. Phil, Oprah, right? All these people. Because why? Oh, they get it. They understand love, right? The Prophet ﷺ understood love more than any of these people did. Yes. So the Prophet ﷺ, he got it. And we see this. We see that he got it. Oftentimes you see that people will come and they'll complain to like imams and stuff like that. I'm sure Sheikh Saab and Hafiz Saab have gotten this a lot. That they'll say, you know, like, I want my wife to be like Aisha, right? When I read stories of the Prophet, man, he would say it and she'd just do it, right? Clean? She's like, how much, right? It's like... But then you often hear, and I'm sure Sheikh Saab has kind of said this in a very nice way, because he looks big, he looks scary, but he's a soft guy, right? If someone wants their wife to be like Aisha, then maybe we should start being like more like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? The reaction and the reciprocation that he got from her was only because of the akhlaq that he had, right? The perfection of character that he had. And you see this. You see this in stories. The Prophet ﷺ was once in his masjid. And his masjid, by the way, it was kind of like this. Where there's like a big room, and there was like a wall in between. And he just lived, his house was one side of that wall, right? So imagine there was like a wall here, and this was his house, and this was the masjid. Right? So one day, there's a bunch of Abyssinian young men, they're dancing in the masjid, they're doing like their Abyssinian dance. I don't really know like how it goes, don't ask me. I'm not really quite Abyssinian, I'm more Egyptian, little north. But they were doing this dance, this demonstration. And they were not like young boys. They were younger men, older boys, right? And Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, she sees this, it's interesting, right? And at this time, she's not old, right? She's a younger lady. And she says, I want to go watch that. I want to go see what they're doing, right? Oftentimes, you're driving on a road trip or you're going somewhere, and the wife or the husband or whatever sees the bill. Oh, can we stop? Ripley's, believe it or not, right? 10-foot snail, oh my God, right? Like... escargot, right? And so you see that and you're just like, oh my gosh, why? We always have to stop everywhere. Everywhere we go, you want to stop. All these things, right? So the Prophet ﷺ, she asks him, and oftentimes the response from a typical Muslim husband is like, if you want to, fine, right? And then the wife's like, no, I don't want to. It's like, why? I said, yes. It's like, no, if you say it like that, and then fights happen, right? No biryani tonight for dinner, only... Dal and Jal, right? But the Prophet ﷺ said, sure, no problem. No problem. Let's go watch. So they went to watch. I need to demonstrate this. This can't be told. Usam, can you come here? It's okay.
I'm only going because Mullah Nasser said.
It's a good thing about having the same teacher.
Yes. So the Prophet ﷺ, okay, keep in mind, neither one of us are perfect, or neither one of us are like Aisha or Muhammad ﷺ, but just for the sake of demonstration, we're going to pretend. So you'll be in the place of Aisha, okay, no, of Muhammad ﷺ, and I'll be in the place of Aisha. I'm really comfortable with my masculinity and my manhood, so I'm cool with this. Okay, so the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he's standing in front, right, because obviously the young men are dancing, and he wants his wife to be a little more kind of like covered a little bit. She can look, but he doesn't want her to be in plain sight. And what does she do? She's narrating. This is Aisha. This is the wife of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, right? Right? She goes, I lean up and put my chin on his shoulder. And then the narration says, what?
Touch.
My cheek was touching his cheek. How romantic is that? Right? What more do you want? Listen, hold on, wait. No, you're going up. Right? So she said, my cheek was touching his cheek. Check this out. What happens, husbands? What happens? No one answer over here. Husbands, when you're at a place for a long time, like an art museum or something, like your wife wanted to go, and you're like, I just wanted to go to like get some food, right? What happens? What question do you ask? Are you done yet? Can we go now? Right? So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asks.
Are you done yet?
Nope. Right?
This is what happened.
This is what happened. Literally, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes, can we go now? He said, are you finished? She said, no, I'm not done yet. Then again, he asked later on, do it.
Are you done?
And she said, no, not done yet. Then one more time.
He says, are you done?
And she says, now I'm done, right? And she left. Remember the whole time. And keep in mind, by the way, that like, she was shorter than the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So she can't fit her chin on his shoulder. Like, it's not going to work, right? So she has to tip up on her tippy toes. Now, when you're on your tippy toes, is it very easy to balance yourself?
No.
If you have extremely strong legs like me, yes. But if you're like most normal human beings, then you probably have to do something like this, right?
Yes.
Hold on. Either in the arms or the shoulders. This is the image of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his wife. Later on, thank you, Zafar Khan, I appreciate it. After. After, check this out. You guys think that was nice? After the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed away, and she's telling this hadith,
she said,
Wallahi, I swear by God, I had no interest in watching those people dancing.
Allah.
She goes, I just wanted my face to be on his face.
Allah.
Eat that, the notebook, right? Ryan Gosling ain't got nothing on the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Everyone, send praise upon Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We see that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was an exemplar husband. He knew, and he kept asking her, are you done yet? And she said no. And normally the typical response is, okay, let's go. But he kept with it. And you see this supreme love just falling out of the heart of his wife. Typical phrase that we hear nowadays in society, I'm almost done, I'm sorry. Typical phrase that we hear nowadays in society, and I'm not going to complete it because it's very vulgar, but it's a certain phrase which guys might say to each other, hopefully not Muslim guys, which has a connotation of putting your brothers before your wife, right? And all you think, you might know what I'm saying. Okay, so.
Bros before Thundercats.
There you go. Bros before Gulab Jamuns, right? So. And this is a very, very derogatory phrase. It's very, very disgusting, and we never ever call women any sort of gardening tool. That's not what they are, right? No. They might garden, but they're not the gardening tool. So this concept is seen to be like a very macho concept, right? Like if you're a man, then you'd rather be with your homies than your wife, dude. Like what kind of man are you? Like come play Xbox. We're all 31. Like no, all right? Right? This idea is very like masculine now, like it's cool. The Prophet ﷺ was once standing with a group of his companions, and the Prophet ﷺ had a very interesting characteristic. He had the quality of anyone who he was with or interacted with, they would feel like they were his favorite person. You know how like when you know that you're someone's favorite person, and you're like, yeah, I know, like you're telling everyone else that you're the best friend or they're your best friend, but we all know who's best friends here, right? That's the kind of feeling that everyone who met the Prophet ﷺ had with him. Because he was just so kind to them that they were all like convinced, man, this guy likes me more than everyone else. Right? So Amr ibn As, a great companion of the Quran, if you're from Egypt then you know what I'm talking about, he's a great companion. Amr ibn As, he asked the Prophet ﷺ, like his love was just so, like for the Prophet, he like, the bromance was just coming out, like he just loved the Prophet so much, ﷺ, that he said, Ya Rasulullah, Which one of us, or which one of the people of the of Anas, right, of all of mankind, he says, is your favorite? Which one of all of mankind is your favorite? Man and womankind, right, humankind. And the Prophet ﷺ responded with one word. He said, Aisha.
Allah.
Right? Check this out. This is even better. Are you like that, Abbasan? Check this out. So Amr ibn As is like, treated, right? So he's like, okay. He's like, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean like your wife. Obviously, we all love our wives. He meant, which one from the men is your favorite? And he said, what? Abuha.
Allah.
Her father. We all know that Abu Bakr Siddiq was the father of Aisha, right? We all know that. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he was, even before revelation, who was his number one homie?
Abu Bakr Siddiq.
We all know this, that they were like best friends. They were like so super tight, right? Even up until the day that he passed away, that's why the leader after Muhammad ﷺ was Abu Bakr Siddiq, right? But look at how he called him. He didn't say the second or the favorite amongst the men is Abu Bakr. He said what? Her father. So even when he's talking about a man, he's referencing it in relationship to his wife. That's how much he loved his wife. That is a true man of love. So if you ever want to get advice on how do I approach someone that I love, how do I engage with someone that I love, how do I converse, how do I treat someone, how does intimacy work with someone that you love, how do I have arguments with someone that I love, the number one person you want to ask is the Prophet Muhammad. Look to his guidance and his advice, and you will not be disappointed, right? Look to Dr. Phil and Oprah, you might get some help, and you should. Just like Abu Bassam, he read these books, you can get the knowledge of traditional or contemporary scholars, but always, always look towards the divine guidance of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي رُسُولِ اللَّهِ أُصْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولِ اللَّهِ أُصْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ Verily, for all of you, in the Prophet, in his existence, is a good, perfect example to follow. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept everything that has been said and been heard. And inshallah, I think Sheikh Abdul Nasir is going to go a little bit deep into the idea about what love is and how to practically act upon it, inshallah. But I hope after my Habib Wasam's introduction and my talk, that we've all gained a little bit of perspective on the fact that where do we get love from, right? Does Justin Bieber give us tafsir on love?
No.
Right? The Jonas Brothers, Big Time Rush, all these dudes who wear skinny jeans, are they the ones who teach us about love, right? They don't really know that much. Right? What? Okay, first of all, sorry, this is just a rant. What does Justin Bieber know about love? The kid's like 12 years old, right?
Never say never, man.
Never say never. He might convert. Never say never. You're right, right?
Allah must be nothing.
Whoever got that, no one got that. Okay. All these people, they're trying to tell you about love, they don't really know that much. All these young kids talking about like, oh, I feel like I have butterflies in my stomach. That's a serious medical condition. If you have butterflies in your stomach, like, that's, you know, you have to be checked out by a doctor immediately. Like, there's something that might happen.
Seek medical attention.
Right? Love is not only the feeling of fireworks in the sky. By the way, I got married on July 4th, so every July 4th I tell her, like, I planned it, right? Like, worldwide they're celebrating our marriage.
I like it.
Love is not all about fireworks in the sky and butterflies in your stomach and gulab jamun in your cheeks, no. Love is about giving peace and tranquility to one another. That when you see the person, when you love someone, when you see them, everything just goes away. Stress just disappears. Right? Nowadays it might be different. Stress might appear, right? But the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed it was that when you love someone and you're treating each other in a way that's loving, all the energy just cools off. And you're good to go, right? Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Barakallahu fiik. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaykum.